Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Bonnie Gantz Cleveland. Dr. Cleveland is the Loretta C. Ford Endowed Professor at the University of Colorado Denver College of Nursing. And we're very pleased that you'll be speaking with us about your viewpoint that's appearing in the January issue. So Happy New Year, Bonnie.
Happy New Year.
We're almost there. So I was very pleased to see this, and I just want to tell our listeners that this came, I think I heard you speak at the American Academy of Nursing meeting, and thought we really need to get this in AJN and talk a little bit about it, because your remarks just really point out that we keep doing the same old thing with people, and it's not working, but we haven't really moved on to find something else that really could help patients and families change for the better. So I'm just very delighted that you persevered with us in getting this viewpoint into AJN.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity. It was actually has been a great experience.
Good. So tell me a little bit about, first of all, your background in working with adolescents and families.
Well, my background in working with adolescents and really communities came about early in my career as I was a pediatric nurse practitioner and accepted a position in a faculty practice site in a school-based health center. And I saw children over and over that we were worried about their weight, and they would come back in. We'd counsel them, tell them to eat less and exercise more and come back in a month, and we'd check their weight, and I just saw kids getting bigger and bigger. And they would keep coming back, and I got frustrated, they got frustrated, and so I developed an interest in looking at what were some alternative ways that we could counsel families around behavior change related to maintaining a healthy weight, and started seeing some of the literature on motivational interviewing. And that's when I got interested in this whole area.
Now, I've seen programs that have been talked about that do help families and children, school-based programs, for example, on exercise and things like that, that do help focus kids on healthy eating and moving. Are any of the programs built on motivational interviewing?
Well, there's been a little bit of work done in primary care over the last few years incorporating motivational interviewing. Certainly Dr. Ken Resnikow at Michigan has done some work in this area. Dr. Schwartz out of Wake Forest has done some work in this area out of primary care. And behavioral counseling sorts of approaches have been used in school-based programs, but I'm not aware of any particular school-based intervention that incorporates motivational interviewing, to my knowledge. Mm.
So could you tell us a little bit in the sense of how motivational interviewing, how you would approach a family or a parent and child using the principles of MI, as opposed to what a nurse might normally do when she sees a parent and child?
Well, traditionally, nurses and certainly nurse practitioners were taught to counsel families by coming up with a plan and telling people what to do. So trying to figure out, you know, what they should do to maintain a healthy weight in their child. And motivational interviewing shifts that whole focus toward having the parent identify what their goal is for this child and assessing what their current behavior is and how that current behavior may or may not be helping them achieve that goal. And then helping them develop what we call in MI developing discrepancy between their current behavior and their health goals. So that's helping them look at if the goal is for the child to maintain a healthy weight, what current behaviors are they doing that's not helping the child maintain a healthy weight, whether it's drinking lots of soda, watching lots of television, eating lots of junk food, skipping breakfast, just helping them assess what it is they're doing that's not healthy, and then having the family decide what of those things they might be interested in changing, and bringing people along who are not even aware there's a problem, helping them become aware of their current behavior as a risk factor, all the way to folks who know there's a problem and want to change and are ready to come up with a plan. But you really tailor your counseling based on where the family is with understanding the importance of change, having confidence in their ability to change, and their readiness to make a plan to change.
And that is such a difference in terms of our traditional approach, where it's here's the diet plan or here's an exercise plan, and as you said, come back and see me in a month and tell me how you've done. It really gets into more of helping patients reflect on what they're doing, why they may keep doing it, or if they don't want to do it, what they can change. So I can see where it's a much more personal approach and why it might be work much better.
Absolutely, absolutely shifts the focus toward what's their priority and what do they think they can do and how can we support them in doing it, not figure out what they should do and tell them to do it.
Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like this should be part of everything that we do when one talks about the focus on today on patient-centered care and patient-focused care, that it really has to be from the patient's point of view.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the core part of it, is recognizing that we have to first elicit from the family what their goals and values are, and then base our suggestions or co-creating this plan based on what's important to them and what their cultural background is and what their personal values are.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your work with families, have you does any particular family come to mind when you think of one where they sort of had the aha moment and started to think about what they were doing and were successful in making some changes?
Certainly a number of families come to mind, and this whole focus on what is the patient's goal when you're talking about adolescents, and we have a goal of maintaining a certain weight or a certain blood pressure or whatever, that's very rarely important to the adolescent. And one young man that I worked with comes to mind where when I had the time to ask what his goals were, and his goals were more around playing football and being able to play a full quarter without being, you know, too winded or too tired to stay in the full quarter. So when we shifted the focus towards football versus maintaining a healthy weight, then his ability to make those little changes shifted. And so the next visit was he wanted to play a whole half before he had to come out to rest. And so by the end of the year, his weight was down, his physical activity was up, and he was playing a whole game without needing to come out.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. Now, in working with teens, we know peer pressure is a big part of what sometimes drives their behavior. How do you work that into it, or do you? Do you, you know, leave that up to them if they want, if that's part of their issues?
Well, that's a very good question, and again, that comes back to eliciting from them what's important to them. So if what's important to them is being able to eat with peers or have physical activity with peers or acceptance by peers, and frequently children who are morbidly obese will be teased or bullied by peers. And so that's part of finding out what's important to them, what's currently happening to them, what they'd like to change, what the barriers are to making those changes. And some of those kids actually are in need of some behavioral counseling to deal with some of those issues. So peers can be supportive, and we can talk about which of your peers would be supportive and are willing to do physical activity with you, which of your peers eat healthy, how can you get support from family or friends around the eating and activity, and helping them problem solve how to avoid peers who may have negative influence on them.
Now, and with younger children, we talked a lot about adolescents, but with younger children, is it more difficult to get them to be reflective on what they really want, or is it more important with the younger child to get the parent engaged more?
Yeah, you're really right. So with younger children, it's more about counseling the parent and finding out what the parent's goal is for that child. And it gets tricky around the school age where the child absolutely is the person who's choosing what they eat, but the parent can be the person who has healthy things in the house or makes physical activity opportunities available to the child. So it can be a combination when you get to the school-age child, but the younger child, it really is focusing on doing the motivational interviewing with the parent. What are the goals that are important for that parent, for that child? And then using the same techniques of eliciting what their current behaviors are and what the parent could or couldn't do to help achieve those goals.
And just to give our readers perhaps a couple of quick ideas in the sense of, is there one or two questions that you always ask or that you always start with when you work with a family parent?
Yes. The idea of motivational interviewing is to, again, elicit from the family their understanding of the risks of what are the goals they have for the child, and then what are the risks of their current behavior, and then ask them how important it is to them to change anything about the child's eating activity or inactivity, and then how confident are they if they decided to make a change that they would be successful in making that change. And then based on the answers to those two questions, you may follow up with the readiness question. Are they ready to make a plan to change any one of those things? So those are sort of the starting points. Find out what their goals are. Find out what their current behavior is and how it may or may not be getting them to those goals, and then how important, confident, and ready they are to make some changes. And then the other critical item is to start very slowly, one small step at a time that the family selects. We don't choose it for them. Mm-hmm. So what one small change do they feel like they could start with? And then another really important concept is rolling with resistance. So if the family is not aware that there's a need for change, you just try to increase their understanding of the risks of their current behavior. You don't go to a plan for change.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. So you have to really meet them where they are, and if they're not ready, you just wait till they're ready.
Right. And give them the opportunity to come back. Mm-hmm. Leaving, the rapport is the most important thing, so that they feel like they want to come back and see you. They want to talk to you about it again when they're ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great information, and thank you. I know you're very busy, and I really appreciate that you're spending a few minutes to provide a little bit more context for the Viewpoint piece. So thank you again, Bonnie.
You bet.